Jerusalem. Jerusalem is one of the most famous cities in all the world. The name Jerusalem is at least 3,000 years old, and more likely closer to 4,000 years old. It is located high in the hills of Judea, about 30 miles east of the Mediterranean coast. Now, Zion is the name of one of those hills, and Zion is often used interchangeably with Jerusalem. It is also called the City of the Great King. And in this context, king does not refer to David, rather, it refers to God. The sons of Korah apparently were a family of singers who performed in the temple. They were responsible for several of the psalms in the book of Psalms, including our scripture text for today, Psalm 48. This is a song about Jerusalem in the aftermath of some unnamed battle in which the citizens of Jerusalem came out triumphant. The prophet Isaiah referred to Jerusalem as the holy city, and that's a title that is frequently attached to it even to this day, the holy city. And probably the reason for the title is because the temple was located in Jerusalem, that shrine where God was willing to come down and meet with his people. Jerusalem is also the place where Jesus was killed and rose from the dead. Jerusalem is considered sacred to Jews, Christians, and Muslims alike. The common ground is Abraham. Consider the incident involving the would-be sacrifice of Isaac, a difficult passage. God says to Abraham, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Abraham complied and went to Moriah. His response is often explained as either blind, loyal obedience, or he knew that somehow there would be a last-minute provision. Blind obedience is the traditional Muslim interpretation. Trusting that God will provide an alternative is the traditional Jewish interpretation. The Christian interpretation is similar to the Jewish interpretation, but it adds something deeper. Abraham could obey God because death was not seen as a threat. If God could bring Isaac from a lifeless womb, surely God could bring Isaac back from the dead. You can read further on that score in Hebrews chapter 1. In any case, the majority view in both Judaism and Christianity is that this Mount Moriah then became the location for the temple, which now brings us back to the city of Jerusalem. It is difficult to overestimate the influence of Jerusalem on world history. As Christians, we can reflect on the idea that Jerusalem can be considered a powerful metaphor that points to all that is good in religion, all that is bad in religion, and all that God would transform about our religion. Jerusalem can point to what is good. We must recognize that a great deal of good has been done in the name of religion. Terry Muck describes it this way: the figures would be very difficult to come by, but the facts of the case, such as the single-handed raising of the world's health quotient and lifespan by Christian medical missions, and the comparative freedom and level of justice enjoyed by people living in countries that have a majority of Christian people, are enormously satisfying to those of us who passionately believe in the health and growth of the Christian church. I know that the other major world religions, Buddhism, Confucianism, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, and others, have their share of civilizing successes. Buddhist missionaries to China, Japan, and Tibet provided social stability and meditative practices that positively influence those cultures to this day. Muslim contributions to science, philosophy, and medicine are evident worldwide. Let us recognize that religion is the most powerful force in human society. When it is good, it is very good. Unfortunately, when it is bad, it is very bad. But Jerusalem can point us to what is good. It reminds us that God is at work in the world, gathering a people to himself. The story of the Bible is really the story of one family, the family of Abraham and Sarah. God chose to reveal through this family his plan for saving broken persons enslaved to sin and restoring all people to their Creator. Jerusalem provides our faith with historic continuity to this reality. The word religion etymologically means to tie back, or in other words, to bind together. And surely one good thing that healthy religion does is that it binds us to the past to reconnect us with things that last, that endure, giving us roots and traditions and memories. If we know what we are about, then we will not sever today from yesterday. We will not attempt to replace Jerusalem with Hollywood. We downplay the ancient city of our God at our own detriment. It is good and right to have places and seasons and words and rituals that connect us to the faith of our spiritual parents. To be fair, Jerusalem can also point to what is bad. Its long history has been marred by hostility and warfare, by rebellion and betrayal, by hypocrisy and oppression. Today, it represents the conflict between Jews and Christians and Muslims. Sadly, even among the various Christian churches that lay claim to various parts of the old city, there is great division. For many people, religion is an obstacle to faith because they regard all religions as bad, including and sometimes especially Christianity. They point out that great evil has been done in the name of religion, and they think that the world would be much better without it. And there seems to be considerable evidence to support this claim. Examples would include the Christian Crusades, a series of armed onslaughts from Western Europe against Arabs in Palestine, both Muslims and Christians. Example also would include the Islamic Janissaries. These were kidnapped Christian children who were raised and trained as an elite fighting force and sent back to kill Christians, including their own family members. There was the forced conversion of Galileans to Judaism. And we've had inquisitions and tribunals, the denial of human rights, the subjugation of women, Protestant and Catholic strife in places like Northern Ireland, suicide bombers, and religious collaboration with conquest and colonization, both in ancient and in relatively modern times. And these are just a few examples. Religions also fight within themselves. And even when they're not trying to kill each other, they're often quarreling and separate. Christianity is no exception. There are over 41,000 denominations in the world. I didn't say congregations. I said denominations. 41,000, and the number is growing. A man was shipwrecked on a deserted island. Years later, a freighter happened by and rescued him. The captain saw three huts on the island and was curious and asked the man about them. "Oh, the first hut," said the man, "is my home. The second hut is my church. And the third hut, well, that's the church I used to go to." Now, I like the story. I like the story not just because it's funny, but because it reveals human character. John 17, Jesus prays for unity. And we spend considerable time and effort making sure that prayer is not answered. Jerusalem is a powerful symbol of religion. It reminds us of what is good about faith. It reminds us of what is bad about faith. But Jerusalem can also lead us to the wonderful hope of the transformation of our faith. Now, it was natural for Paul and John, seeing that the earthly city of Jerusalem was far from perfect, to designate the place where God dwells in true holiness as the Jerusalem which is from above, or even as the new Jerusalem. The Apostle John writes, "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.'" Now, those who trust in Jesus Christ become citizens of this redemptive city. City. Many people are bothered by the idea that heaven is described as a city. This is not what we expected. It goes against our experience. We tend to associate large urban areas with bad things like pollution and crime and noise and overcrowding. We long to escape from such places and seek the beauty and solace of natural surroundings. We feel especially close to the Creator when we behold the breathtaking majesty of mountains, the robust symphony of the ocean, and the artist's canvas of colors by lakes and forests. So it comes as quite a shock that heaven is more like Detroit than it is the Grand Canyon. Go figure. To understand this, we need to look at what the Bible means by city. The first biblical city was Enoch, named by Cain after his son. Cain, you may recall, was the one who asked the haunting question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the answer was supposed to be yes. But he replied with a murderous no and slaughtered his brother. Ever since then, the word city has been symbolic in the Bible for brother hating. Here then is the message of heaven. Heaven is not escape from the city. It is the redemption of the city. To use the language of Augustine from long ago, the city of man has been invaded by the city of God. It is the end of hate and the restoration of brother keeping, sister keeping, caring for one another regardless of our perceived differences. It is the end of the earthly Enoch and the establishment of the heavenly Jerusalem. And as citizens of the great city of the King, we are ambassadors for this city. We are to represent the redemptive power of God's love in the world. We are to proclaim the end of hate and the triumph of compassion. We are to tell the world the good news of Jesus Christ. Jerusalem points the way to transformation. Coursing throughout the biblical witness is this tantalizing dream of the city that is to come, the holy mountain where they really won't hurt or destroy anymore, and where God will be all in all. And this is precisely where our New Testament ends, with the vision of the new Jerusalem descending out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband. The vision is not a mirage. What God has begun, God will finish. To this city, not made with human hands, and to its builder, we are called and invited. Using all that is right within our faith and tossing away all that is wrong in our faith, let us gladly march on to Zion, the beautiful city of God.